My name is Adrienne Rich. Mumia Abu-Jamal's deep and resonant voice has been silenced and censored. This essay was handwritten in a solitary confinement cell by a man awaiting execution. Prison officials have banned Mumia's voice, and so I would like to read to you one of his illuminating commentaries. Warlust Again, Iraq 2. Quote, "We believe these actions to have been taken in error. The actions taken can scarcely be reconciled with the principles and purposes of the United Nations to which we have all subscribed. And beyond this, we are forced to doubt if even resort to war will for long serve the permanent interests of the attacking nations. There can be no peace without law, and there can be no law if we were to invoke one code of international conduct for those who oppose us and another for our friends." This is a quote from U.S. President Dwight David Eisenhower in a speech responding to the British-French invasion of Egypt and the Soviet invasion of Hungary, October 30th, 1956. As of this writing, sabers are rattling in Washington. This time, a bare pittance of states have joined the fledgling number sworn to attack Iraq, a far cry from that of Iraq I, Operation Desert Storm. As in the first engagement, this latest military option has less to do with, quote, violating UN resolutions than with securing future access to oceans of petroleum. What was somewhat obscured in the first wave of aerial assaults in 1991 has been clearly demonstrated in the second, that the UN is but a thin fig leaf for what are U.S. and multinational corporate interests. Where was this high and mighty concern for the, quote, sanctity of neighbors and borders when the apartheid regime ruled in South Africa and raided, strafed, or bombed the frontline states of Angola and Mozambique? Where was the global umbrage about, quote, weapons of mass destruction when news emerged about the apartheid state in possession of nuclear arms? As an outlaw state, South Africa tortured and killed thousands of her African, quote, citizens, and shot down her own children in 1976 in Soweto. South Africa treated UN anti-apartheid resolutions with a long train of contempt. It is interesting to note that her best friends in the international arena were the U.S. and Israel. During the long years of racist state terrorism, the U.S. never once hinted it was considering military action to liberate the oppressed black majority or to relieve the frontline neighboring states. Indeed, it is remarkable that South Africa's beleaguered neighbors did receive military assistance, not from the USA, but from the tiny island of Cuba, whose forces bested South Africa in battle in Angola's Cueto Carnival. What makes Iraq's neighbors so worthy of, quote, help, and South Africa's so unworthy? In a word, oil. Iraq and her neighbors house over 65% of the world's oil reserves. Once again, we are in the maw of war, where thousands, if not tens of thousands, face death. The deaths of Iraqi men, women, and children to protect the corporate interests of Western industry. Is there something obscene here? American politicians and their PR specialists in the media and the academy are revving up for death, and the voices of peace are silent. Americans talk of, quote, collateral damage on TV as if they are talking about washing dishes, not the tortured, horrific death of babies. The U.S., meanwhile, talks about upholding the dignity of the United Nations while it refuses to pay millions of dollars in UN fees. Once more, into the breach for oil.